that we're so thankful for our mothers, you know. They brought us into this world, but to have a godly mother that leads you toward Christ is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and I thank God for that, and thank God for all of you. This morning, to look at the bulletin just a little bit, today is Mother's Day, and we have gifts for all the ladies after Sunday school, church, and then Wednesday, we're looking at a VBS bus workers meeting at 8 p.m. in the Berean class, if you're involved in that. And then Saturday, on May the 20th, we're going to have the Herbman Olsen wedding shower at 10 a.m. to noon in the Family Life Center. And then the quilting service, quilting circle will take place from 1 to 3. So that's the pertinent ones that are close. And just like to say this morning that as far as the folks that we've been praying for, I talked with Brother Bob Daniels yesterday, and Bob is very upbeat. He's says he's getting more strength back now since he came home from the hospital, and that his numbers are not where they should be, but they are coming up. And so he appreciates all your prayers, and he and Sheila are working through this, trusting the Lord, and whatever the Lord has there, he's trusting him for that. Also, my wife talked with Judy Whitson this week. She's doing okay with her chemo, and so she was in a very happy mood, like Judy always is. So Frances Lawson, who is part of our class, is still recuperating from her fall, breaking her arm, and so we talked with her. And then this week, as you know, we've had a whole group of our young people that have graduated, so we congratulate them. And that's about all the announcements for today. So does anyone have a special prayer request that we need to remember out loud? And anybody have one they want to pray about? Okay, Clyde Tipton and his wife Martha, and they're going through cancer treatment. Okay, pray for Pat. Okay, so Randy Scalf, he's been in the hospital for a day and back out getting breathing treatments. And okay, Ms. Sheila. Can you say that again? Okay, Gordon Aldridge, been in the hospital, not doing well. Okay. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer then, and we'll ask him to bless this time that we have together. Father, we do come to you this morning thanking you for your love. We thank you for the precious blood that you shed for our sins there on Calvary, God. Lord, we thank you for that blessed hope. And Lord, as we come this morning and we've talked about some of our folks that are having issues, I know that Judy Martin's sister fell and broke her hip, Lord, and she's not in this area, but she's in Georgia. Lord, I pray you'll be with her. Lord, we'll pray for Pat Scalf and also Randy Scalf, Lord. I'm sorry, Randy and Pat Scalf, Lord. We'd pray for them, and then we pray for Pat Shaw also, Lord. And in God, we have others, Bob Daniels. We thank you for his progress. We thank you for Miss Judy's progress and Miss Frances' progress. Lord, you've answered a lot of prayer We're so thankful, God. Pray that you'll bless Brother Steve today as he comes and tries to finish up this series that we've been talking about. And Lord, may you give him a special unction from heaven to finish this up today. Lord, we just pray now for the service to come. Pray for each and every one that's here. Lord, we give you the glory for anything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Brother Danny. Here, leave that mic right here.
Okay.
Just turn it off. Did you turn it off? Is it off?
It's on.
There you go. Good. Thanks. Okay, we're going to start trying to get through the millennium today. I need to get through it, really. This thing has went on and on. It just keeps getting deeper. So, anyway, we start with this. Last week we kind of stopped. We were talking about those that at the end of the tribulation period, at the beginning of the millennium, in Revelations 4:20, verse 4, it says, "And I saw thrones of them that sat upon them. The judgment was given up on them, and I saw souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus." Now, that's during the tribulation period, remember. Those many people get saved during that time and believe and probably read the word, but because of that, the Antichrist is killing those people during that time, and which did not worship the beast. So they were very punished. They were martyred. So they didn't worship the beast, neither the image, neither received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned again with Christ for 1,000 years. So there is a verse that says those people during that time are resurrected at the end of the tribulation, at the beginning of the 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years is finished. This is the first resurrection. So that's talking about those that died in their sins, believed the devil, trusted in what went on during that time. Those people are all dead at this time, because when we talked about Christ and us coming back and defeating all the armies and the millions of people getting killed. So we see here that there's two groups of people that are dealt with. And there's verses, I may get to those verses here in a minute. It talks about the separating of the sheep and the goats. Sheep on the right hand, goats on the left. The right hand is always mentioned in the Bible as a place of honor. We know that Christ sits at the right hand of God and other times in the Bible. But during the millennium, during the 1,000 years reigns, there is verses that indicates, that says that Christ will rule and reign on this earth from Jerusalem, because it talks about his feet sitting down on Mount Olives. So we'll look at some of those verses, but there is some verses also in the Old Testament in Ezekiel and Daniel and others that talks like that David will be resurrected at this time. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And he is going to be a king, but it's more like a regent in charge of things. So when you start talking about the word millennium, it means 1,000 years, milli, a Latin word for it. But then in the Old Testament, it's kind of, in the Bible, the word kingdom can be supplemented for millennium. It's just, the millennium is 1,000-year period, but it's also, if you look at one of those charts I handed out a couple weeks ago or last week, we have different kingdom periods seen from the Old Testament. So the Old Testament prophets looked into the future past the cross and could see the church age and could see the tribulation age and could see some of what was going on in the millennial age. And they called, back in those days, kingdoms was talked about. And we look at the one that we're talking about, the millennial, the revelation of Christ, when he set up as kingdom, they called that the stone age, stone kingdom. And that's all coming from the Old Testament. When some of them, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels, he shall sit on the throne. He will be there on the throne. And before him, all these nations are gathered, it talks about. And he will separate these nations, nationality. Sometimes nations doesn't mean a country, it means nationalities. So nationalities gets the whole world. We're not really talking about countries here. A lot of people want to speculate who is those northern kingdoms, who is those nations today that will be coming down and trying to wipe out the nation of Israel. And we really go back and look at these nationalities or these nations. It's people from all over the world that are going to be involved in that. Probably all over northern and central Europe. A lot of people liken that to the Roman Empire and what they controlled during that time in the world, which is all around the Mediterranean Sea. And then you had the Persian Empire and all that that went on in that part of the world in ancient history. But now we have a worldwide communication, instantaneous, of mankind everywhere, of all nationalities. So I like to think about this in today's thinking for us. When it says that he was set upon this throne and judge nations, I think it's easy to take that word and look at it in Hebrew and Latin and Greek and all that, and then come and bring it back to nationalities. So we see he's going to sit there and going to judge the nationalities of the world at this time. And all that's left of the world is what happened during the tribulation period. Many, many millions and millions of people will be killed. The 144,000 that get saved, it talks about them being martyrs. So they're resurrected right off the bat. But those that get killed during that time are not resurrected. Get that clear. If they die in their sins during that tribulation period, they go to hell. And they are there for another 1,000 years before they get brought before the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000 years and judged for their sins and cast into the lake of the fire with hell and the devil and all that gets cast into the lake of fire. We've already been judged, remember, at the judgment seat of Christ for the works that we do as Christians, as the church. We're judged there. So we're getting to see all of this. We're with Christ at this time. He's not left us. He leaves us there. So we look at how it's been set up. And he shall set the sheep nation on his right hand. Now this comes out of Matthew 25. And we looked at that months ago in Matthew and broke that down. He shall set up the sheep nation on his right hand, but the goat nations on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of your father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that's Matthew 25, 31, 34, long in there on that. So we see that he's talking about, at this time, he's speaking to the Jews in Matthew, in their language at that period of time. These languages, their meanings, I'm not no linguist, but what I can read is history changes. We use language in different ways, and different words mean different things. But in Matthew, written in Hebrew mostly, because it was written to the Jews in Matthew, and we can read similar things, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which were written to Gentiles and the Romans and the world, but this was for the Jews. So it says kingdom there. And that kingdom that they're talking about right there is this millennial kingdom. That's where we're at. So he's saying, prepared for you from the foundations of the world. So set up in the beginning, right back to some verses that indicates in the beginning was God, and the Word was. We believe that. And just another indication here that all this was set up in the beginning of the world, the foundations of the world. God knows everything that's going to happen. Now, it behooves us to even try to think about predestination of the world and things that happened, and commingle that with soul liberty that we have as saved ones. We choose paths that we choose. And one thing for sure that we don't control, and it's a good thing that we don't do anything to get it, or don't do anything to keep it. We are saved by His blood. Praise the Lord for that. Whether we understand any of this, or whether it matters, we're going to be there. You're going to be there. It matters to me, because it's exciting to me to read about this stuff and get some deeper understanding of what we're going to be involved in, what we're going to be seeing. So we'll see these sheep, these people that have been martyred, resurrected at that time. And these other people, they stay in hell. Now, the form of government during this time, during this thousand-year reign, of course, will be theocracy. The God will rule in person. Originally, how He set up the Garden of Eden, He created Adam and Eve to be His friends, to fellowship with them. He wanted them to trust Him. He wanted them to look to Him to provide everything. And He set up the Garden of Eden for them to rule and reign there and name the animals and be friends with the animals, and He gave them one thing not to do, and of course we know that story. So here we are heading back into a thousand year reign that's going to look like prior to the flood. Even it's going to have some characteristics of what went on in the Garden of Eden during this thousand-year reign. Now, it's not perfect, because we know at the end of this thing, Satan, they take the keys and they open up the bottomless pit to take care of Satan in the last days of the thousand-year reign. And we often think about how does that happen with people living on earth for 1,000 years and Christ ruling and reigning. Well, many people, we have to think about the Holy Spirit. Let's think about Him a little bit. How He restrains us. We're not perfect. We still have a sinful heart. We're a new man through Christ, but we still have that sin condition. The world has been so contaminated with sin, and the blood is contaminated with sin. And anybody that goes into the millennial reign physically that makes it through, there'll be some come through. There's not an indication on how many or what or any of that. But it has to be because at the end of the days of the thousand-year reign, how does Satan get a foothold? So mankind, during that time, it's going to be like likened to the Garden of Eden. We can see likenesses there that God's heading toward a new heaven and a new earth after the thousand-year reign. He has to completely recreate the earth. At this time, when the millennium starts, we're still on this old stained earth that we're on right now. Well, at the end of that thousand-year reign, of course, he has a knockdown, drag-out with Satan and burns this earth up as we know it, but recreates a new one after that, a new heaven and a new earth, new atmosphere. And we could talk just about all day about that alone and the new Jerusalem coming down and the place that's been prepared for us and all those good things into eternity, into the future. But we have to get through this thousand-year thing first before we get to that. And some things are going to happen. We start looking at what he's done and what he's going to do. And then we look back, you can look back in Luke. There's so many indications of this kingdom in the Bible in different places. Even in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 and 33, and the angel said unto Mary, talking to Mary, thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of the kingdom of his kingdom there shall be no end. All kinds of shalls in there. We start comparing that back to what Satan said. I will do this and I will do that. I'll be like Most High. We don't need to go read those. But this is a shadow of what God says, I shall do. And Satan said, well, this is what I shall do. Well, here's seven, the wonderful number seven again. Seven shalls right there. This shall passage is a fulfillment from heaven at that time from things that were set up at the foundation of the world telling Mary what her son was going to be in the future. Amazing. Whether she understood all that at that time, I don't think she may have not. But that angel that was informing her of that, God had allowed it to try to comfort her heart because of the experience that she was having in her body. God's a comforter. And he was telling her, and he was saying, shall. This is going to be God. This is going to be Christ that shall do all this stuff. So as we see Satan has tried to say things in the past, God starts saying things in the New Testament. And he really said them in the Old Testament a lot. There was all kinds of indications where Christ shall sit in person on the throne in Jerusalem. Now, whether he rules alone, there's some speculation because of some verses in the Bible. There are several scriptures that teaches that David, King David, will be risen and placed on the throne again. Now, he'll not be over God, Christ, being there. And the children of Israel will seek him at that time. Now, you see, we keep thinking about that nation of Israel. We wonder where all those people are going to populate the thousand-year reign. Well, you've got all the Jews that are in the nation of Israel is trying to be wiped out by the Antichrist. So all those people that survives that battle, which God takes care of the battle before he even gets into the main part of Israel. They go into the millennial reign, and that's where you get your physical people populating the millennial time period. And it says in Hosea, afterwards shall a child of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. That latter days is talking about this period. And then we look at Jeremiah. He says something. There shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will rise up unto them. That's in Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Then Ezekiel. And David my servant shall be king over them. And that whole passage in that part of Ezekiel is talking about the future. And I Jehovah, this is in Ezekiel again, 34:24. I Jehovah will be their God and my servant David a prince in their midst. So you see, there's lots of indications here in the Old Testament that was not talked about in the New Testament, but it's God's word. You have to take it for what it says. And how all that works, we don't get the grand details about it. We can speculate. And then in Ezekiel 61, it says, my servant David shall be their prince forever. And then in Isaiah it says, as the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and before his ancient glory, I don't want to read that. It's the translation's a little different in words. Let's just forget that Israel. I put that in there, or Isaiah. So the influence of King David will reign simply as a regent, probably. We don't know. This is speculation. Read commentaries. David, they think David will be there because of some of these verses, and there's more verses. That in Ezekiel, he talks about pretty clear that this prince, which is David, will be there. Now, most likely, he's not going to be the King of Kings. We know that. It says the nation of Israel likes it when they see King David. Yes, they will, because of the ancestry part, because of how the Jewish folks hang on to ancestry. So David will be there, probably just as a second man, a man, not God, resurrected man, as a regent, as a king, as a prince of the king. Now let's just look at another parallel here. What did Satan do during the 7-year tribulation? Well, he has two guys that's in control of the world at that time. Of course, Christ deals with them. And they're put into the lake of fire, actually. We talked about that last week. So these two that were controlling the world during that time, Satan was involved in controlling them, and one was preaching, you got to believe this guy, he's God, blah, 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 and all that. So here is Christ setting up his 1,000-year kingdom. Why wouldn't he do two? I mean, he's just showing the devil that he can do as good or more than he can do. So here we have this circumstances. And I like to believe that a lot of this influence that Satan has put on the world, and I'll be this and I'll be that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to set up two guys during the 7-year tribulation. It just tickles me to death to think that Jesus, well, I'm just going to do that too, and I'll show him. Now, I mean, is that for sure? No. But reading commentaries, reading these verses, it's clear that David's going to be doing something. And I like to think that this government, this hand of this government that's going to be set up, and Christ talks about the government in the parable of the 10 talents. We can see that. I can remember Preacher Lashley preaching some of this stuff and talks about all he wants to do is be the mayor of Gray, he used to say, and take care of business here in town. But he talks about the 10 talents. Christ was telling the disciples about this parable about this guy. He gave him 10 and, you know, 5 and on, and we know that one invested it wisely, one didn't do as well, and one didn't do anything. But they were all saved. And one that did really good, he got to take care of this much business, and that's likened to cities or something that the language for the reward of what they did, that's not just money. The example was the man that did really well, he's going to get 10 cities, and the other one's going to get 5 cities, and the other one's not going to get anything, but he'll be there. So that kind of sets in motion that this God-controlled government of the world for 1,000 years, he's going to have us doing some things based on that. And where is that judged at? When do we get to say, well, I gave you this and you didn't do so well with it? At the judgment seat of Christ. You see, before this all starts, Christ is going to get things in order at the judgment seat of Christ for us to come with him to take care of business here on earth for 1,000 years. So he judges us. We know the rewards that we get in crowns and all that. And then we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then we come right down and start doing this. So this talent thing, he was telling the disciples, because there's disciples, he was told later on, that they're going to be, you remember, at the throne of God, there's elders that sits around the throne. Well, there's going to be 12 elders, and the 12 elders, there's indications that will be, I'm going to have to go faster here, I'm not going to get done, just quit reading some of this stuff. It indicates that the 12 disciples will be the 12 elders that sits around that throne in Jerusalem. So you're going to have Christ, you're going to have David on his right hand, and the 12 disciples that are going to be the government during the 1,000-year reign. What a wonderful picture. And how it's all indicated in the Old and the New Testament. The promises is made to disciples that's what's going to happen. Right after they talked about that in Matthew there, or in Luke, and then he tells the disciples that about in Matthew, the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory. Ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's in Matthew, talking to the disciples. It doesn't really refer to the millennial age, but it kind of refers to the perfect age. Well, the millennial age is pretty nice, but it ain't perfect. The perfect age is getting ready to be created at the end of the 1,000-year reign. Now, does the disciples sit on that throne? I think they do during the 1,000-year, and then when they go into the eternal reign of what the new earth, I kind of think that's where they're going to be. But there's not clear. There's speculation, and there's verbiage and language and all the things that go into all this commentaries that these people write. It's difficult. And you just have to sift through it, you know, take the meat and spit out the bones in some of these commentaries. But this age, in So we just talked about the seat of government, which is going to be in Jerusalem. We know that Jerusalem is going to be pretty much trodden down during the Gentile times. It talks about that in Luke. How, of course, we know that Christ predicted that stuff, and a lot of that stuff applied to 70 AD, when the Roman Empire completely destroyed the city. And remember, he said there would be another stone upon a stone, and now we know from history, not the Bible, the reason why they took every stone out, because they poured gold between those stones as fillers, and you could see it from miles away glistening. And they tore every stone down to get the gold bars out from between the stones. So we know it was tore down in 70. It's been trying to bring back. We see all the new Old Testament. We see where Israel's today. And the new city will be built during this thousand-year reign when Christ comes back. So there'll be a change in the animal kingdom. I mean, the kids always like to talk about that, of course, that we'll all be able to sit down with the leopards, and they all get along, and the lions and the tigers and bears, oh my, all that will be good during that time. What a wonderful time it'll be for folks that really like critters, like Pam. She likes critters. So what's that likening to? Well, you can go right back to the Garden of Eden. So we have another parallel here, that things are starting to look a lot like the Garden of Eden. And then there's going to be a prolong of human life. In Isaiah 65, it says in verse 2, there shall be no more thence an infant of days of a child shall die at 100 years old. There's going to be some death. But it says, a child will be 100 years old. So how old's an adult? Well, you can go back prior to the flood and look. You know, a person that's 100 years old is just considered a child at this time. So a man may be several hundred years old, because it indicates is for as the days of the T-E-R-R tree, which is an oak tree, that's how many days a man shall have. I mean, that's old. When we go down a river up in West Virginia, there's still some original trees growing that were virgin timber at that time, at the turn of the century up there, way back in the mountains. And there's one poplar tree that we camp under. I think there was like 10 or 12 of us holding hands around that thing. That's how big it is. There is sections of logs of trees that they cut during that time that were 1,500, 3,000, I don't know, huge number. I don't even remember. It's in the museum in West Virginia. And the log section is over, right, like 12 feet high, straight through the middle of it. Huge. So, I mean, this is indicating that men are going to be that old. So another indication of the garden, permanent life, eating of the tree of life. And look how that carried on past the garden. People lived for 700 years, you start looking at timelines, some of those Old Testament characters that come through that situation. So here again, we're back, this 1,000-year reign's looking just like that. So at the end of the 1,000-year reign, Satan's loosed. These people that are coming through physically, they still have sin. Sin, nature. No Holy Spirit, no influence. Satan, all him's gone. They're in, locked in the bottomless pit. But all of a sudden he's let out. And the sinful nature that they had in their heart, which wasn't doing anything, made it through 1,000 years, being good, being great, having fun, everybody just being pure. All of a sudden, the devil's loose, his influence in the atmosphere affects those people's hearts, and he gets a crowd on his side that quick. And they try to defeat God's plan. And God comes down, wipes them out with fire. The next thing is the great white throne judgment, the judgment of all the wicked dead forever. Comes out of the grave, judges them, casts the devil and all his disciples into the lake of fire. The hell itself is cast into the lake of fire. The end of the devil, the end of all evil influence on this world. So God creates the world from those ashes. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. Like I say, that's another whole 2 or 3 days to talk about all that. And we go into the future. So I'm going to stop right there. They wanted me to stop early. So I think we got there. I think I got us through the millennium. If you have any questions, I know you need some notes. You said you wanted some notes. I may have a book of notes the time I got through this thing. But anyway, I'm going to start doing some stuff that I did about 15 years ago. That's interesting. We'll talk about that later. Some of you may have heard it. A lot of you haven't. I did some of it in the class I taught back in those days when I first started teaching here in 2000. So anyway, thank you for listening to all this. It's true. We can believe it. It's going to happen. We need to tell our loved ones. If you want to go through the millennium with me and into eternity, you need to get saved. You need to trust the blood. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for another Mother's Day. Thank you for our mothers and all that they mean to us wherever they are today. We just praise your name for being there for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for these promises of the future. And what a great day it will be when we get to see all this happen. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.